We haven't had any audio teaching now for a couple of weeks, and I've decided to continue to put together some teaching and record them so people can listen and we can continue on some of the things in the line that I believe God wants us to minister. Since we've had this pandemic in our nation dealing with the flu, and it's been very devastating to many people. Many are out of work, and even among ones that are listening to me, it's a lot of areas where the people have had sickness, or they have been out of work and financially has been in distress. And this is one of the times that we have, you know, it's very unpleasant, but it's a time that we need to really draw closer to God. It's time for walking. I mean, I appreciate everything that God's been doing with us over the last few years, drawing us closer to Him so we can walk in the light of the Word of God during these times to find comfort and rest. We know financially and things, one of the things with the church, we do have ministries and things that we support. And I do, as a pastor, I really want to see ministries that we do support, that we can continue to do that, because during this time period, ministries also suffer, and they're dealing with people also, and their ministry going out. We don't want to have this thing that's going on with the flu turn around and stop the gospel from moving, because now is really is a time for people, and really, I think, a wonderful opportunity to reach people. And so we do ask, if you can, in your giving, I know each one of you have to know what you can do to help, what you, the situations that each one of us are in. I had sent out a text before to the church for each church member concerning offerings and the giving of offerings. And I just want a reminder that don't send them to the church mailing address. It's much more convenient for us because of especially handling and transferring things. So they don't want us doing much traveling now and things because of the pandemic. So we're asking that any offerings and things be mailed to directly to Darlene Arendo's, our church treasurer. And their mailing address, again, is 888 Airport Road, and that's Bethel. And that's 19507. So I just want to give a reminder on that of sending any kind of offerings, and because we do as best we can, as we want to continue to support the ministries and things that we are supporting over the past, and continue to do so to help them over this time too. We're going to continue on in our teaching today. I'm going to go in and look. The Lord has been dealing with me on the areas of continuing in the teaching on true worship. And we have talked before along these lines of worship. It's a very important part at this time, because worship, we need to get it in our minds that worship's not just something we do on a Sunday morning when we go to church and people sing songs together, although that is a part of worship, and we do in worshiping God, and that's a good thing that we do. But worship also has to do with our everyday life of walking in the Word of God and our contact and fellowship with God. And we're going to look today at some things probably in the Old Testament. One of the things that we did in starting off in our teaching talked about what the Scripture said. And Paul's writing to the in 1 Corinthians to the church at Corinth in the 10th chapter. He had talked to them about their father speaking, which were dealing with the Jews, Israel, and said that they were their fathers. In other words, in our relationship to them, said and talks about when our fathers in the wilderness and where they got out of line with God. And in verse 6, it said, "Now these things became our examples to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also." And then in verse 11, he said, "Now all these things happened to them as examples, and they were written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the age have come." Also in Romans, the Apostle Paul wrote and said, "For whatever," in 15:4, he said, "For whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we through the patience and comfort of Scriptures might have hope." And Paul wrote in 2 Timothy, the 3rd chapter, in verses 16 and 17, he said, all scriptures is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Now, some people would say, well, you know, that they're talking about the Old Testament, as if the Old Testament's not valid to us as New Testament believers, and that's not true. The Apostle Paul, during the day that he was writing and teaching, there was no New Testament. And the Apostle Paul and them preached Christ and preached God's Word in righteousness and holiness. They preached it from the Old Covenant. And so the people in those days walked in line with those things, and just in the same today, we need to walk in line with the Word of God also, and look at the things, and if these things were written for our admonition or our learning, there are surely things we need to learn from them. One of the things that we also looked at in worship, we went over it, we were in John the 4th chapter, and in John the 4th chapter, we looked and read through verses 20 through 24, where Jesus dealing with the woman at the well of Samaria, where he spoke to her, and she asked a question to him about worship. And so in verse 21, it says, Jesus said to her, woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain, which was in Samaria, nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. He said, but the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshiper will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father is seeking for such to worship him. God is his spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. Now, I wrote a short teaching that I sent out to everyone, dealing with these things of worship. As this woman at the well of Samaria, Jesus is telling her that there's the hour's coming, and now is, because he's going to go to the cross, he's going to die for the sins of humanity and be raised from the dead for the justification of all men. And up until this time, the worship was to go on, and it was to Jerusalem. That's where in the temple that God established, God had established the principles of worship of what he desired and he wanted. And that was the place in Jerusalem where you went, where the presence of God was. He wasn't in the presence of God, was not in the temple of Samaria. So the Samaritans were worshiping. They didn't know what they were worshiping. This was man's ideas and man's plan. Well, God is telling us the plans of God are going to change. And what happens is now today is the man is the temple of God, and the Spirit of God lives in us. And so as God's living inside of us, we worship, and now we worship, our worship is from our spirits or from our heart, that God lives in us and dwells in us. So our worship is by faith through our inner man. So we're the temple of God. Now you might not feel like you're the temple of God. We don't live by feelings. We live and walk by faith. And so through faith in God, we worship God by faith in Jesus Christ. We worship an unseen God. Because in Hebrews, in the 11th chapter, tells us that concerning our God and faith, and it says, concerning faith, that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things that are not seen. So, in other words, faith is based on a God that we do not see, and we worship a God that we don't see. See, this is one thing as we're dealing with science. Science is always trying to prove naturally if God believes. Well, if you believe God because you saw him naturally, that's not faith. That would not please him at all. He wouldn't be pleased by that. He is only pleased by faith. And so we worship a God we don't see. I don't feel the Holy Spirit in me. Sometimes the Holy Spirit manifests. But I don't feel him, although the Bible says that I'm the temple of God and the Spirit of God dwells in me. It says the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives in me and makes alive my mortal body. So those statements are true whether I feel them or not. So therefore I must act in line that they are true, and I must worship God according to those principles and not according to the principles of a temple, a physical temple that's in Jerusalem. Although in their day that's what they did. But they weren't spiritual people. And I had talked about that in the letter that I had sent out with a teaching, because they didn't worship God. We are spiritual. They weren't. And so we worship God in the Spirit. Now, we want to look at some things, because in the Scriptures there are things that are very helpful to us in learning. In the book of Exodus, there are principles here that we can find in Scriptures that things that are types and what the consider types and shadows, and those things that we look at in types and shadow really relate to us as spiritual principles. In other words, we take those types and shadows and we translate them into spiritual things, not necessarily practicing or doing what they did, but applying it spiritually to our lives and how we carry them out in practice according to the spiritual truths. So we want to look at some things, and we're going to go to Exodus, the third chapter. And Exodus, Exodus is a book. The children of Israel were in Egypt, and things there were not going well for them. And we're going to talk about Moses. God raised up this man Moses to lead the children of Israel, and we found out his great difficulty at first when he tried to step out as a leader. They were definitely not ready for them. And it is interesting, God told Abraham that the children of Israel would go into Egypt, and they would be there for 400 years. And then he would bring them out with a great deliverance. Now, it's very interesting. They were there for 435 years. As we sit down and look at these things, is the 435 years before they were delivered. I believe, this is my personal belief, I believe that they could have been delivered sooner. But because of their unbelief and lack of faith, till God could move upon them, Moses tried to show them that he was a leader. They didn't buy it. When he heard after he had killed an Egyptian who was beating one of the Hebrew slaves, and he would have thought that his Hebrew brothers would appreciate what he had done. They didn't, and they were turned around. And we find out as you go on to study, in which we will go on in looking at areas of worship, that the children of Israel, the ones who were in Egypt, really never got Egypt out of them. They were continually followed and really walked a life of unbelief till God could get the next generation into the place where they could walk by faith. Now, as we go on here to look, we're going to look in the third chapter here. Moses had left and went to Midian. Now, Midian is in the area today of what we would call Saudi Arabia. He went down there, and when he arrived down there, he got to the place. There was a well there that he went to, and at that well there was some women who were bringing sheep in. They were the daughters of Jethro, who was a priest of Midian. And he came to the well, and the women were there to water their sheep, but the men would come in and drive the women away, and they would have to wait till the men were done till they could get their sheep watered and that stuff. Well, what happened was Moses showed up there, and he changed things around a little bit, and he didn't know who these women were, but it assumes that he didn't think that was the right thing for them to be doing, to chase these women off. So he watered their sheep. Well, they went back to their father's house, and their father said to them, well, how did you get back here so quick? You know, usually it takes you a lot longer to water the sheep. And they went on to tell about this man that helped them. And they said, he looked like an Egyptian. And he said, well, go get him and bring him here to the house. He said, you bring him here. You know, he helped out, and you bring him here to the house. And they did. Moses ended up staying and living with them, and he was there for 40 years. So it gives us sort of an idea of God's deliverance of the children of Israel. When Moses was in Egypt, he could have been there for within a 5-year period. If he would have stayed there 5 years longer, would have hit the 400-year mark. But since the children of Israel acted really poorly toward him, he turned around and left. And later, God will turns around to bring him out, and brings him back to deliver the children of Israel. But we want to look at an incident that happens here as God reveals himself to Moses, and we can look at some principles of things that happened here with this that can really relate to us is in our approach to God in worship. And this is a hugely important thing because the way we think about worship, I hear, you know, now people are talking about because of the flu, and since they don't want large crowds and things to meet, they're talking about because we can't Christians can't get together to worship. And surely that is true. We can't come together and do it. But it should not affect us in our worship toward God. It should not affect us as believers. It is wonderful. And I mean, I miss getting together in church. To me, it's one thing I thoroughly enjoy is in our Sunday morning services when we get together and worship God together. It's always really a good time. And really the fellowship of believers is a thing that I really miss. It's a family that you can't see that you long to be with. It's one of the things is, thank God, we will end up being together for eternity. So hallelujah. God has a wonderful plan, for us for that. For this temporary time and the things that we might have to go through, God still desires us to worship Him. And we want to look at some things that to worship God and what things that lead us to have a true worship and a worship to God. So we're going to look at some of these principles of the third chapter. We're going to start in chapter 3 of Exodus. We'll start at verse 1. Moses married one of Jethro's daughters, and he became a sheep herder. And I'm sure that he found out after leading the children of Israel, sheep herding was a simple thing to do. It was very easy. But he was there, and he seemed very content in what he's doing. He had a good life that he did that he liked, and had a wife and children, and he was out taking sheep out. So in doing that, it's a very solitary thing to do, but he must have enjoyed it. But we find here in verse 1, it says, "Now Moses was tending the flocks of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he said he led the flock to the back of the desert and came to Horeb, the mountain of God." Now we need to understand, they didn't call it at that time the mountain of God, but we're going to find out that it was the same mountain. This is the mountain which was called Sinai, and this is the Horeb's one of the names for it. And this mountain is where God took the children of Israel out to, and there came down on the mountain and things. But we find out here that when they went out, when Moses was out here at this place and took the sheep, he has an encounter. And so it says he went out to the back part of the desert. In other words, he went out to a place. He was in we talk about a desert. Now we don't want to think about this as a desert out there. There's nothing out there. There's just sand. You wouldn't want to take your sheep out there if there's nothing for them to eat. In other words, it's a deserted area. It's very deserted. And he took the sheep out there. They would take the sheep through areas where they would eat and also find water. They had to for the sheep. But out into that area, he took them. And so he was out in an area by itself. He isn't in a populated area or anything. He's sort of away. And it sort of gives us an idea of getting out and away. And so he's out and away. God's getting him out. You know, one of the things that it is, and I found out in my own life, sometimes because of the busyness and things of things going on around you, you don't always hear like you should. And maybe you don't always as conscious about the things of God as you could be. And we found out with him out here, he's out here. There's this sense of being out. He's alone. He's out with the sheep and doing it. And he comes to the place they call the Mountain of God. In other words, this is a place where God had designated and determined to meet with him. And this is an important thing. It's one of the things that we need to know is we have really missed in the church world today is the idea of looking to God and seeking God to find out not specifically talking about a specific place to meet, although God might tell you to go somewhere or do something. But it's the idea of getting ourselves to the place where we meet God, where He wants us to meet and how He wants us to meet Him. Many times people are just designated and they'll go along. It's like today, if we look at the flu epidemic and the things going on, you know, there's a lot of today as people, you know, even ministries and they're teaching. Well, you just go ahead and go after God and go after God and seek God. Well, it's one of the things people need to know is a lot of people haven't been seeking God. They haven't, even the Christians have not been going after God. They haven't had a longing or a wanting to get near God. And now all of a sudden this bad thing happens. Now it's like, well, we just jump right into this. No, you don't. This is why things, when they happen like this, see, we're running behind on a thing. Most of the church world has missed this whole thing about preparation for what was coming. Many were saying everything was just going to be wonderful, everything's good, and everything's going to be fine, and it isn't. And so now people, many have been misled, and many think, you know, things were going along, and now we have this. Now, all of a sudden, we're just going to flip a switch, and we're going to become spiritual people, and it doesn't work in that manner. So it's going and finding out, going to the place where God wants us to meet. And we want to do that because we found out God had chosen a place. We find that God later on takes the children of Israel and brings them back to this place. He wants to meet with them. And so we need to know that with ourselves. Worship is like I had written in the teaching that I sent out, is when God established His plans for worship for the children of Israel with the tabernacle and with the temple, God laid out the complete plans that He wanted, not how they wanted to do it. He decided where people would come and worship Him. He decided the form of worship. He did those things, not man. And so we need to understand, and we need to look at these principles today, is it's our importance to find out what God wants. What does He want? Too much of we're trying to get Him to give us what we want. Right now, people are spending so much time seeking God about, we want to stop this virus, stop this virus. And I'm just telling you, worship has a lot to do right now of what God will do. If we begin to treat Him like God, instead of just as a nice little Santa Claus, we just come in here, give us this, give us that, take care of this, take care of that. And we have to, it's really a very childish approach to our relationship with God. A worshiper of God, a true worshiper of God, is really a sign of maturity. And ones who come to God, who really are seeking and after Him, and we're going to look at some of these things. So anyhow, He led them there, and this is the mountain of God. And we find out there on verse 2, and it says, "And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire from the midst of a bush. So he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire, but the bush was not consumed." And so here we see a little spectacular event took place. Another God did something here to manifest Himself to him. And He did it through this bush is on fire. There's a bush there, but the bush itself is not burning up. In other words, this angel has appeared as through flames. And so this is definitely something different that he never saw. And it's number one, we need to understand with us, you know, we may not see a burning bush, but there's one thing, think about this. The Holy Spirit of God indwells and lives inside of us. Around us, the Bible tells us, there's angels and things around us. See, we live by faith. And the fact that they're already here, that they are around us. Well, understand this about Moses. He didn't know that. He didn't have an Old Testament. He didn't have this book he could pull out. Here's all this information about God. He didn't have that. The only things that they had at that time was a lot of things that were passed down by word of mouth. He had word of mouth concerning Abraham, the promises, and what God did with him. But that's all they had that were passed down. So he didn't know. So many times God would reveal Himself to them in a more spectacular way because they didn't know. We have the wonderful Bible to tell us about our God, and thank God that these things, but that doesn't mean can't have manifestations. We sure can. But our manifestations will come because we act on faith on what the Word says. And then God will manifest Himself. So we need to do that. God will manifest Himself. So God wanted to speak to him. And what is important is not the burning bush. The importance isn't about the flames. The importance is about what God's going to talk about, what God's going to do. See, this is what many people get so caught up on manifestations rather than in revelations. And what we need is a revelation. A revelation from God will bring manifestations first. First, get revelation from God. Believe in that revelation. Act on the revelation. And allow God to manifest Himself to you. That'll be just such a great blessing to you. And so this is why we're looking at these things. It's not that God's trying to keep us in this situation where all these things are happening to our nation and around the world. God wants to change them, but we got to follow the pattern of God. And the sooner we get into the pattern of God and follow the pattern of God, the quicker things will be changed. That's what we need to understand. It isn't just crying and saying, God help, God help, God help, God help, God help. It is getting in line with the pattern of God, doing what the Word says and acting on that, and then God will carry out the blessing. So we've got to find out what we need to do. So we find in verse 3 here, it says, then Moses said, I will now turn aside and see the great sight, why this bush does not burn. Now, I want to say this. So he turned aside. This is a very important thing, is this turning aside. We use this principle of turning aside. In other words, he saw the bush. He could have stood around and said, that's pretty neat. Now, see, we don't think of, we think about, well, if we had been out there and saw a burning bush, we would have turned around and saw the burning bush. But you know what? Today, it's amazing all the wonderful things God has done for people over the years and how many people don't really go aside and turn aside to God. Yet they have a life where God has blessed them and done many wonderful things. I mean, look in our nation and all the wonderful things God has done. Look in Christianity. I came into the kingdom in a revival and a move of God. And many of the people that were in that move, the same move of God I was in, there's many of them that are really very cold Christians today. They don't turn aside to God. You know, they forget about things. They, you know, God would almost have to come along with a burning bush, and they would look at it, and they just want to follow burning bushes. Well, God, here Moses turned aside. Moses decided, hold it, I got to see what this is that's going on. So in other words, taking ourselves and turning ourselves aside to God. So it says, so when the Lord saw that he turned aside to look, God called to him. Now you understand this? God didn't talk to Moses. Here, Moses sees the bush. He sees it. God don't say, hey, get over here. Come over here. Come over. I want you to look at this. He doesn't do that. And we're going to find out. That's not the principle of God. There's a principle of God, and it's missed today. You know, we think we're looking for this thing, and we want this great manifestation of God, and all these things change. We want stuff changed today, and we want it changed right now. But what does he say here to do? It says, so when the Lord saw that he turned aside to look, God called to him from the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here am I. So in other words, God didn't respond to say anything to him till he responded to God. Now, God initiated a response, but Moses had to respond. God didn't call. And see, we need to understand that. That is a principle. One of the things is the principle about this is worship. I want to talk to you about something that's really interesting as we begin to look this. In Hebrews, the 11th chapter, in verse 6, because we're talking about worship and the worship of God and how important it is to worship him. It says, in Hebrews 11:6 says, but without faith it's impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Now, if we look at this scripture, now none of the we were talking about, Jesus said that men would worship God in spirit and in truth, or from their spirits or from their hearts, and in truth according to the Word. And here we find this is talking about faith, because he said without faith you can't please God. And where's faith? Faith in your heart. So here he is talking about it. Without faith I can't please him. In other words, I can't worship God unless it's out of my heart. Now we find out this principle. What pleases God, he tells him, it's impossible for me to please him without operating out of my heart. In other words, I can't please God in worship. See, many people are calling out of frustration and out of fear and out of everything else and all this other stuff. Whether they would get sick or whether they can pay their bills or whatever else goes on, and they're calling, oh God help, God help, God help. But God's looking for those who will cause by faith, because that would please him out of their heart in line with the Word. He said, he is a rewarder of who? The ones who diligently seek him. Now, I understand. He didn't say he's a rewarder of those who keep calling. He's a rewarder of those who just keep, you know, oh, I need help, I need help. He said those who diligently seek him. Now, this is really interesting because the words, this one Greek word they use to translate diligently seek. And that's an interesting word because it means to seek. You're looking for something as if it's lost. This is an important thing. Because what is it? You wouldn't spend a diligent amount of time looking for something that you did not consider valuable. You wouldn't do that. you know, something you didn't, you know, maybe when you were a kid and you lost a quarter, you might really run around and try to find a quarter. Today, you know, you dropped a quarter, and if you didn't see it a little bit, you balk off. Well, today, that's totally different. But now, if you lost, say, your cell phone, oh, I'm sure you'd be running all over the place looking for that. You'd stop everything that you're doing. Everything that you, why? Because you consider that thing valuable. If you lost the keys to your car, I'm sure you'd say, oh, well, that's just the way it is. Well, no, you consider it valuable. You will diligently seek those till you find them. And we need to understand that this is what this is talking about here. It's talking about the reward or somebody diligent. In fact, it's very interesting. I got to studying the words that are used for to seek God, because these are really good, interesting, because there's some different words that they use. But there many of them fall in line. But one of the most interesting I found is looking at the Hebrew and the Greek. And the counterpart of this diligently seek, this word is used in the Hebrew. And there's a similar Hebrew word that is used in Hebrew to speaking of seeking God. It's in the same bit. And the counterpart of that word, it means to worship. I found that was really interesting. So what was important? In other words, worship is seeking God. Worship is tied to the search of God. It's something that you find valuable that you're going after. See, in our seeking for God is part of our worship. You know, when we have our worship services, this is what many times people come to church just because they need something. I think in some ways we carried it a little too far when we say, did you come to receive? You know, did you come to give? Did you come to give your worship to God? Did you come to go after God today? No, it's always we're trying to get something. We see as God is only from the side as Him giving us something, and not from the side of what we need to give Him because of how wonderful He is and glorious He is. How valuable do you think He is? How valuable do you think people want what He can do today? Oh, people say, yeah, you know, we need God to deliver us as a nation. We need God. Yes, we're seeing it from our need side. But we don't worship. Worship is an incredible thing, because true worship will always lead you to great faith. This is why so many are weak in faith. They're non-worshippers. They don't worship God in spirit and in truth. They're not worshiping. They don't set themselves before God. They don't see Him, because worship does one of the things that we use the term about magnifying God. Worship magnifies God in your sight. It makes Him big, and it leads you to the place that your trust in Him becomes greater than greater. And this is why it's so important. The seeking of God, seeking something as if it's something that's valuable, as if it's lost, if it says, oh, I gotta find it. I gotta get after Him. I gotta worship Him. I gotta, you know, I gotta hook up with Him. And see, this is the importance. This deals in the areas of fellowship and everything. This is about our entire Christian walk. That's why we got to get out of our minds about this thing of worship is just singing some songs when we get in services together. No, it's our daily life. It's our daily seeking after God and searching after God. And right now is one of the most important things. People are preaching all kind of things. Sure, making right confessions and doing those things are good, and we should do those things. But one of the great things right now that we should do, and it isn't just about giving money and doing things, it is about, because you know those things in themselves aren't going to bring things to pass. There's you know, the word says this, which people get always messed up. People say things, you know, all things work together for good. Yeah, all things work together for good to those who are called according to His purpose. In other words, walking in line with the Word of God, it's more than one thing that you got to do to be blessed. You don't just want, you know, you're not going to get wealth just give money. You're not going to do that. That ain't going to happen. You're going to have to do a number of other things too. It's walk, how to walk in faith, how to walk right, live right, act right. You're going to have to do those things too. Well, worship is a huge part of this, and worship is a very neglected part of this. You know, when the scriptures tell us, it says in Matthew 6:33. Jesus made this statement. He said, but seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. What did we do? First, seek the kingdom and his righteousness. In other words, he tells us what we need to do, what we're needing to be seeking. In other words, if seeking is the idea of worship, too, is involved in that, then they're worshiping first the kingdom. Get over there and doing that. Then the things get added. See, we have too much things today that are neglected, that people are not walking in the light of or following the light of the scriptures. And as today, there's one thing, is we need to worship God. You know, worship's a wonderful thing of faith to do. Is we're in a time of distress and problem, is begin to worship God. This is one of the things about David. David did that. David was a great inspiration in this area of when times of trouble come, he worshiped God. That's what he did. He worshiped. And so we need to come to that place where we worship God in spirit and in truth. We begin to do that in this time of distress. I think that's one of the great neglecting things right now that is not being done in the church. Everybody's after something. They want something. They have their confessions. They have all their stuff. But God wants a people who worship him, see him greater. You know, I thank God for government or government leaders, what they're able and trying to do. But I'll tell you what, we need something greater than that. We need something definitely bigger than that. And we're going to make that decision. What are we going to magnify as bigger? What are we going to do? Well, we can do that in our own personal lives, and we can worship God and turn things around, help to turn things around for this entire nation. We don't have to wait till we get together and have worship services together. We can begin to worship God. So we want to do that. We want to worship. What we're supposed to do, we're supposed to first seek the kingdom of God, and we're supposed to seek righteousness. No, it tells us so, doing right, acting right. It isn't enough now just asking God for things. You know, it isn't asking, you know, and people, you know, well, just do this. Boy, if we just do this, carrying out these different things that the Bible says to do, and all people say, oh yes, if we do, just do this, do that. No, I'm going to tell you, we need to come down till we get focused on where our priorities are and what our search really is. Do we want God in this? Do we want God back in our nation? Do we want him to be in the first place, or we just want what he has? I want more than that, and so do you. So anyhow, as we look on, I want to go through some scriptures with you about seeking. But like, you know, Jesus said in Luke 11, in verses 9 and 10, I'm going to look there to read to you. In Luke 11 and 9 and 10 said, Jesus said, so I say to you, ask and it shall be given you, seek and you will find. He said, knock and it shall be opened to you. And then he goes on to say, for everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it's open. So in other words, the person who seeks will find. Isn't that a wonderful thing? He says, you don't just ask, you must also seek. So you ask and you seek and you knock. So in other words, these are things that you do, but we want to say, as you're asking, many people are just asking, but they're not seeking. They're not, and really, now remember I talked about this, how the word seek is tied to worship. Now, other words, people are asking, and they're not worshiping God like he's doing it for them. How many people are worshiping today? We look at the flu, and they keep talking about how it's spreading and more deaths and these different things. Are we worshiping God that he's fixing this problem and just thanking him and before him and magnifying him of what he's doing? That he's on our side and he's helping us, he's building us, he's strengthening us, and glorifying him for being so good and kind. See, we want to do the good and kind thing and tell him all of that once we see everything change. But no, that's not, there's no faith in that. We go over and worship him because we ask him. We're receiving. We're seeking him. We find. Hallelujah. We find the God that we're seeking. And we want to keep doing that. There's an important scripture. In Isaiah 55 says, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him when he's near. This is a huge, important thing. You know, many times their scriptures go over. If you look over in the book of Hebrews, in the first chapter, it talks about wisdom, the wisdom of God, how the wisdom of God is trying to reach man and man neglecting the wisdom. And it talks there about the fact of they'll keep neglecting it, but they'll come to the point where they're seeking it and they won't be able to find it. In other words, while God is still moving, and this is an important time, right now God's reaching out to man, and it's important. We don't want to let things go till God quits drawing and we're seeking, we don't find. He said, seek the Lord while he may be found, call upon him while he's near. So it's important. We don't want to get over neglectful in this. Right now is a time God wants to move, but we have an important thing to do in the church world in our seeking God right now, taking the time to seek, turning aside. And so God will talk to us. Right now, people need to hear from God. He's hearing enough from us. We need to hear from Him. And it's time that we turn ourselves. We're yelling at a distance because we have been far away many times. Christians have been far away from God. They haven't drawn near to Him. And they have been far away and they're yelling at Him and they're yelling at Him. And it's drawing near to God. We need to draw near to Him. He'll draw near to us, the Scripture says. If we draw near to Him, we're the first. See, we always do. See, we do the seeking. We do the drawing near. The church wants to turn this thing around the opposite way. We just sit out here far away, and then when trouble comes, we just yell and yell and yell over at God what we want, what we desire. And then we quote our scriptures and we do our things. It's important to be drawing near. This is a time of worship. And I'm not hearing much said about this. And I really find it something because God just keeps dealing with me about this moving over in the areas of worship, getting over here because of faith. He wants to see some faith. He wants to see faith in manifestations. So this is really important that we move in this way. I want to read you some more scriptures. In Psalms 34:10, it says, "The young lions lack and suffer hunger, but those who seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing." See, those who seek the Lord. It didn't say those who just ask God. Those who seek the Lord. They're not going to lack any good thing. The ones who search after Him, like I said, as something valuable, they're going after Him. They won't lack. See, whether people realize, this is one of the things is dealing. I was teaching the series that I taught before we went over this, dealing with causes for sickness. See, right now, one of the major problems that we're dealing with in our nation, the church is not seeking for cause, we're just seeking for answer. We just want God to take care of this, to heal it and all this. But why is this going on in our nation? Why is this happening? There's cause. And if the cause isn't dealt with, things are not going to be good. We need to understand this. This is very, very painful for many people. You know, there's people within our nation who have gone after God and searched after God, and God will take care of His ones who have gone after Him. But everybody's not going to get taken care of. We need to understand this. There are people who are dying financially. Some people are not going to recover from this. And we're going to sit down and look. We need to understand these things because there's causes, and causes must be dealt with. If the cause is not dealt with, then the thing won't change. So what's causing it? And see, people aren't dealing. See, it's just, well, we just ask God for something. You just do this, do that, that'll work. No. One of the things is begin to seek God. We go after Him and seek God. Get near so He can talk to us. Hallelujah. Draw near where He'll talk to us. God ain't going to yell at you from a distance. That's not what He wants. God wants fellowship. And fellowship, there's a closeness that He desires, and that's where seeking Him comes from. So those who do seek Him, they don't lack for any good thing. He didn't say those who just make a great confession, or those who do this or do that, you know, those who just give their money, they're just going to, oh yes, then it's going to work. He doesn't say that. Now I want to look at something here in Psalm 63. This was a psalm of David. And this psalm here was David when he was in the wilderness in Judah. He was under oppression at the time. And he listen what he writes. He says, "Oh God," this is verse 1, 63:1. "Oh God, You are my God. Early will I seek You. My soul thirsts for You. My flesh longs for You in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water." He's out here. Look at David. One of the things I want you to see, he says, what? I seek God early. I just want you to understand this. We would not be in the situation that we're in today in our nation if we would have sought God early. This wouldn't exist. We didn't seek God early. See, he's seeking God. He said, I'm in a dry and thirsty land. He said, my flesh longs for You in a dry and thirsty land where there's no water. My flesh, he said, my flesh is after You, God. I want You so bad, even my flesh is after You. I want You. In other words, why? Because He does it early. He said, I did it early. I seek after You early. I'm not going to wait till a much more trouble comes. I'm not going to wait till a lot of stuff happens. I'm going to stay after You. When things don't look like they're going, I'm going after You, God. And so he's staying after Him. He's searching after God. And so that's what we need to do. We need to do it early. Not wait. Don't wait. You know, too many people are waiting. Then something happens to find out if something more happens or whatever goes on. No, we stay early after God. And I just want to commend you folks, because we have been in our church. We've been after God early. We've been after God. we've been going to it. And a lot of what I'm talking about is this. These are many people in the church world are in the condition of what I'm talking about. They haven't been seeking God early. We've been seeking God. We've been after things. We've been wanting to change. We've been after stuff. Well, a lot of people haven't been. You know, now they're trying to get in with God. And so I just want to commend you in that, and your search and your seeking for God, and continue to follow God. I really want to just thank you for being hungry for the Word and your desire for the things of God, because it's the payoff. You can begin to rejoice. You know, don't sit around and feel grumpy about what's going on and what's happening, the situation that you might be in. Your God will take care of you. He's great. He'll help you. And so He is not leaving you forsaken. You know, just draw close to Him. He draws close to you. And hallelujah. You say, well, He feels so far away. It matters not how you feel. Act in faith. Thank Him every day that He's walking close with you. Thank Him every day that your bills are being paid, that the money's coming in that you need, that you have favor with businesses and different things or whatever might be going on, that you have favor with God, and help is on the way for you. And so, praise God, just keep walking in that. Don't let yourself get down. Don't you know, just look at what's going on, because I'll tell you this, a lot looking going on. I don't watch a lot of the news things or pay a lot of attention to stuff, because I'm looking over at the Word, because the Word is what encourages me and strengthens me, and I'm just saying for you too, it will. I want to read to you Jeremiah 29. This is Jeremiah 29 and verse 13 says this, "And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart." Understand it? Listen what it says. See, it said, "And you will seek me and find me." Why? "When you search for me with all your heart." In other words, everything, you know. And you're born again, and let your heart in its fullness search after God. We have to pull away, you know, our flesh, and letting our flesh dominate us and rule us, and let our heart go right after God the way it wants to. He said, "You seek me, you'll find me. You search for God with all your heart, you're going to find Him." Listen what Proverbs 8:17 says. Now, another story, Proverbs is a book of wisdom, and lots of times what Proverbs is talking about wisdom. In other words, and we understand God and God's words, wisdom are one. But concerning wisdom, it says, "I love those who love me, and those who seek me diligently will find me." See, right now, boy, there needs to be some wisdom, doesn't there? Wisdom loves those who seek it diligently. It loves them. Oh, it loves them. It loves them. The ones who seek it diligently, wisdom loves them. Oh, yes. So if God's the author of wisdom, God loves those who diligently seek after Him. And wisdom, you seek after wisdom, God's wisdom, you're going to find it. Hallelujah. And we diligently go after it. So we want to continue to do that, to go after it. So we're talking about that being our diligently seeking God. We want to do that, is to diligently go after Him. And we found that diligence, being this diligence, has to do with worship. And so as we worship God, hallelujah, our diligence toward God, our diligently and seek Him and worshiping Him, hallelujah, that is God's plan. Now I want to read you, let's go back over to the, again, to Exodus, the third chapter. We're going to read another scripture, because there's another thing said here that we want to look at that was spoken to Moses in, look at verse 5 of the third chapter, and want to talk about this. Here's a really important part that we begin to look at concerning the approaching of God. Moses went over and went close to the bush that looked like it was burning. He walked over close to it. And when he got over, God spoke to him. And verse 5 says this, "And he said, do not draw near this place. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place where you stand is holy ground." And verse 6 says, "And moreover, he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob." And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. Now, that's what was said out of the bush, but I want you to see this. And people, you know, why did he say to him? What is the purpose? See, we look from the natural take your shoes off. Well, we need to understand this. He's at Mount Horeb. This is the place where God is visiting him, and also is going to visit the children of Israel. In a way, this is a sacred place. And so, on this mountain, nobody was allowed to step on it. Moses went up on it. Also, one time Aaron did also went up on it, and Joshua. But I want you to see something. He makes a statement: "Take your shoes off." We know in the traditions, it wasn't the traditions of the Middle East, when people went into people's homes, they took their shoes off. And it was because, you know, their shoes and that stuff would get dirty. And when you went into a house, also in Jesus' day, you know, it says in the New Testament, they would wash their feet. And so, in other words, there's a symbolism to that over in the area of the spirit. In other words, walking through this earth, we go into this earth, our feet, in a sense, spiritually get dirty through our walk in the earth. And so every so often you got to get your feet clean and get the stuff that sort of clings to us in this earth living here. But I want you to understand this. When God created man, he created him male and female. They didn't wear any clothes. They didn't have anything on when he created them. In other words, coming into the presence of God, walking in the presence of God, shoes were made by man. They weren't made by God. In other words, God is saying to take your shoes off. There's a type and shadow of what we would look today in our worship life, is you don't come to God with the man-made. You don't come to man, into God's presence with his thing, with man's things. You come into God's presence with what God calls you to come in with. And God doesn't want the man-made things. Today we have so much man-made in our worship, and in our churches are full of programs and policies and all kinds of things that are man-made, and they're not scriptural. They're not what God has called for and says what he wants. We have today in what we call worship and the worship of God. He says, don't come into me. In other words, take those things off. You come into me with what I desire, what I want. That's how you come into my presence. And so we need to understand that. So the taking off the shoes is a type of leaving man's ideas and man's things to approach God in worship and come as God prescribes us to come. Come in. This is a wonderful thing, and you need to understand this for yourself. You don't need to be special. You have been created as the temple of God, and you don't need to have some kind of great talent or a great something or other. You don't have to be bright and genius or anything. You can come by faith into the presence of God. And this is an important thing. What we've done today is the church world, when we've taken worship and just put it in a place in the church where we have, you know, up front a group singing, bands playing, there's nothing wrong with having musicians and having singers. There's nothing wrong with that. But we've set that up as a special, and this is really the good worship. No, it's not. It's anybody can come into the presence of God and worship God, and God's called each one of us into his presence that we can worship God. And if I look at it as I have to have these certain things to make it a worship that's pleasing to God, we've missed it totally. And I think the church has missed it totally in these areas, because we've turned around and made these areas and things into spectacles. Approach God by faith from the heart. Only then will we be rewarded. That's what he's looking for. When we approach God by faith, we come in in our faith and washed in the blood of Jesus Christ and come into his presence. And whether I feel things are good or not good, no, I can come into his presence. I can come boldly to the throne of grace. And you can stop wherever you are, and you can worship God, and you can glorify God wherever you are. You don't need something special. You can worship God. And see, when we take it and make it this special thing and say, sometimes I've heard people, you know, talk about a great worship service. I've been in great worship services. You know, I've talked about and told before and the stories of going to Fiji, and years ago when I went to Fiji into one church that they had, and the simplicity they had, you know, they played, there would be a couple people maybe on acoustic guitars, and they would play, but the people would worship God. And the first time I went there, I was amazed, the presence of God in those worship services. And there was nothing fancy about any of it. Those people just worshiped God. They just loved him. Well, I said to Wanda, I said, when I took her the first time to Fiji, and I said to her, I said, wait till you go to this church. And we went there, and the worship was so wonderful. But you know what? They ended up building a new church, and they made this church with a real nice building. And there's nothing wrong with having nice buildings. It's great. There's nothing wrong with it. But they got over, and they had their worship. But what happened is they got really professional. Oh, they got now, you know, all the latest in the things of worship and, you know, and music and instruments and everything. And they go in now, and there's nothing matter with practicing and doing stuff. They go in and do all this, but now it's professional. And you know what? The worship services, the last time I was over was not even close to what it had been. Why? They had lost something. They brought professionalism in, and they lost the things where people could express their hearts and worship to God. And see, we want to come where we express our hearts to God. It's not a performance. It's not watching somebody else do something. See, worship should never be a spectacle. The churches today have come in, and they've brought all kind of things in. I remember in a church that, you know, that I went into, it was into, and I remember when they built a new building, and then they put the lights in overhead, and they put mood lights in, and they had these lights that would shine on the ceiling and move around. And I thought, what are people wanting to be about people watching the ceiling and watching lights move around? See, that's distracting. That's not worship. That's distracting. That's getting people to, on the visual and not on the spiritual. And then they have those things. Then they turn around. You know, that same church turn around smoke machines today. Today, smoke machines. All kind of lights and stuff they got. See, we go today, they talk about worship services, and they have laser lights going and things. We go to concerts, and they say they're worshiping, and they're going, and they have laser lights and all this. That's visual. That's not worship. That's not worship. That's visual. Those are the things. And today we have filled with visual aids. We're out here with the visual and other kinds of things to stimulate the senses. And people think they had a spiritual time of worship because they felt good. This brought on an emotional type of experience. And I'll tell you what, that's why when you go and after that's over, you're back to exactly where you were. If you get in the presence of God, I will tell you what, if you had an experience with God, it'll carry on with you when you leave. And you'll have it. It won't be gone next week. It'll be there. And see, we've lost that in the church world. In the church world, it is our displays of things in the physical. I just appreciate ministries today who they'll just have their singers up there just to worship God. There's no spectacle to it at all. They're just up there to worship, help people worship God. That's what a musicians and things in front of a church, that's what they should be doing. Is helping the people worship God. Not putting on a spectacle. It's not a performance. Getting people to look on me. No, we want them to get them to look on Jesus Christ and glorifying Jesus and magnifying Jesus. We want them seeking God with their heart, not with their eyes. Not with their feelings. Seeking God diligently with all their heart. They're not waiting to somebody to do something great so they can feel better. Allowing God to move in them and do something specifically. That God doesn't just move in that service and do something just for somebody else, but He moves and touches each one of us too. Well, He can do it at home or while you're in your house right now. You don't have to have, you know, some kind of spectacle. You can cause God to manifest Himself by you going after Him with all your heart. And so you want to do those things. So we have today, much of the church world's removed faith from the services and replaced it with seeing and feeling, calls it worship. And they call it worship. They've removed these things, and we don't want to do that. We want to keep worship as a simple thing because it is. It's like, well, you know, this person, because they're very talented, can sing well. Thank God for people who are talented and sing well. They can be a blessing to us. But they don't have a better connection to God than the guy who can't sing well at all, who's off key all the time. He can, I've seen, you know, like Brother Hagin didn't have a great voice for singing at all, but nonetheless, he had a great connection to God. And there's loads of people have wonderful voices and have no connection to God. And so we want to have a connection to God. We want that hookup to God. And you can have that because God's interested in your heart, in the pouring out of your heart to Him, and you're searching after Him with your heart because you will find Him. So we got to return to faith. Then God will manifest Himself. And this is what we want. We don't want to make our manifestations. We want to have God manifest us. We want to search after Him and let Him reveal Himself to us in our homes. And see, this is why you want to do it there, not just at church. You don't have to wait for church. You know, we haven't been able to be at church because of this pandemic that's going on, and it's closed everything down. So how long they're going to do this, you know, we can't do that. Are we going to lose the manifestation of God? I'm surely not. And neither are you. So God will manifest Himself. He'll display Himself. And surely when He does that, your emotions will be inspired. And so, but don't try to do things emotionally to try to inspire to get something to happen. Let God manifest for you. And so teaching these things, I just want you to... you know, set yourselves in a direction. See the importance that you can worship God. Sit over, as I said, as worship is a huge thing of faith. And so get yourself over. Begin to spend time worshiping God, thanking Him, getting over there, Lord, looking to Him. Not just, we can ask for things and we're allowed to, but concerning these things that are going on, we need to thank Him. He's big and He's going to take care of us. And He's going to look after us. You know, He had told us back before these events happened, to meditate on Psalm 91 before this stuff ever began. He told us to do that. Why? Because His plan. See, we can get over there and worship Him. Well, if you're in the secret place of the Most High, are you abiding in the shadow of the Almighty? That's what we want to do. You're abiding in that place. Oh, that's the place you can worship and glorify Him. Hallelujah. And He'll take care of you. Hallelujah. No sickness will come nigh your dwelling. Glory to God. He'll take care. He's going to look after you. Hallelujah. His angels will have their charge over you. You won't dash your foot against the stone. He's going to satisfy you with long life. He's going to supply all of your needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. He's a good and wonderful God, and He will take care of you. And so I just encourage you, hallelujah, as we go continually look into these things, and there's some other areas we're going to look into worship. And so don't get caught in the trap of things today. Hallelujah. We're not some kind of technical people just trying to figure, trying to please this God and trying to work it out. Come to Him. He'll tell you what you need to do to please Him. Oh, He's so wonderful and He's so good. He'll show you what to do. Spend time with Him. Hallelujah. He's not asking you to just jump through some hoops and some things. Hallelujah. He wants you to do things because He desires you to be blessed, and He wants to pour His blessing out on you. He wants to help this nation. He's reaching out. I'm so thankful that He has been so kind to reach out to this nation. And so let's act like this is true. Let's go to the Lord in prayer before as we end this teaching today. Father, we just want to thank You for Your goodness and Your kindness and mercy that You've shown to us through Jesus Christ. Father God, as we approach You today, I'm so excited about Your Word. And Lord God, Your kindness to reveal Yourself to us, Lord God. And Father, I'm so thankful that Your desire to help us, Lord God, during this great troubling time. And Lord, I pray for each one today, Lord God, that's listening to this, Father, in the name of Jesus. Father, I pray, Lord God, as You'd say, and You'd say from Your Word, and if they would hear any angel today would speak to them, He would say, fear not, or don't be afraid. Why? Because He doesn't want us afraid, do You, Lord God? You don't want us afraid, because we wouldn't make any good decisions if we act in fear. But Lord God, we're not going to fear. We're going to draw close to You today, and that's what we're doing. We're drawing near to You. Lord God, we're seeking after You. That's why, Lord God, we're listening to the Word of God and listening to teaching, because Lord God, Lord, we want to hear from You. We want to hear what You're saying. We're drawing near, Lord God. Hallelujah. And I just thank You. I thank You, Lord God, as we draw near, You're drawing near to us. Hallelujah. And Lord God, as we're diligently seeking You, as we're worshiping You, and Lord God, I do worship You. I thank You, Lord God, that You're moving in this nation. Lord God, I thank You the forces of evil are being pushed back in the name of Jesus Christ. And I thank You, Lord, deliverance for this land. Lord God, I thank You, Jesus Christ, being glorified again in America and in the church especially, Lord God, being glorified again as being the great God. I thank You, Father, for holiness, Lord God. Lord, one of the reasons these things have been happening in our nation because of the lack of holiness in the church, the lack of righteousness and truth. And Father God, I want to thank You. Lord, I want to just thank You, Lord God, for everyone who walks in the truth. I appreciate in our nation and around the world every believer who has desires to do right. Lord God, this earth would have no blessing if it wouldn't be for the ones who desire after You. And thank You, Lord God, for the ones who walk after You in truth. And Father God, we're just going to continually search after You. We're going to continually look to You. And Lord God, I thank You, Lord God, that we will not be disappointed. I thank You, Father God, You're going to supply our needs. You're going to look after us in this situation. And You're going to move, and Lord, give us an abundance, Lord God, so we can help others and bless others, Lord God, in this time. And I thank You for it. I thank You, Lord God. And I worship You because You are big, and You're well able to take care of us and look after us because You're great. And there is none like You, Lord God. There's none like You. And Lord God, Lord, You're the rewarder of the ones who diligently seek You. So I thank You, Lord God, for reward in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, the Lord bless you. We'll continue to do teachings along these lines as God leads us. And I pray, Lord, for each one of you, and continue to pray for each one of you, Lord, for the blessing of God in your life. In Jesus' name, amen.